What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, Buffalo Bills fans. Welcome back to Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast here on BuffaloRumblings.com. We are a proud member of the Buffalo Rumblings family of podcasts. My name is John Boccacino, being joined, of course, by Jamie D'Amico here on the podcast. We are recapping Buffalo's tough, disappointing 24-17 loss to the Baltimore Ravens in week 14, a game where the Bills had ample opportunities to pull out a win, which would have clinched a playoff berth. They had ample opportunities to make a statement to a national audience and knock off arguably the AFC's best team. They contained the front-running MVP candidate, Lamar Jackson. They held the Ravens' high-flying offense to only 257 yards of total offense. And, you know, Jamie, I'm looking at all these positives, and I know the end result is the Bills lost. You know, Buffalo couldn't convert a final drive in the fourth quarter. When they got in the red zone, they couldn't seal the deal to get the tying touchdown. But to me, Buffalo showed a lot of moxie in this game. There was a lot of pressure. Josh Allen played horribly. He was plagued by a lot of drops, you know, from his receivers. And in spite of all of that, I'm still finding myself feeling good about this game. And maybe that's because I didn't think the Bills were going to win this one in the first place. But, you know, I feel good with what I saw from the Bills on Sunday, knowing that this wasn't their best shot against the Ravens. This wasn't their best shot against a team that they might see down the road again in the playoffs. And yet, in spite of all those things going against Buffalo, the Bills still had a chance and were right there at the very end.
There was a lot to not like about the performance by the Bills in this game on the offensive side in particular. The defense, yes, they give up their first drive every game, but I think that's what it comes down to. When you feel good about the future of this team, you have to look at the defense being able to keep just about any team in check. Now, what does that look like going forward? Well, I'm with you in that I see the positives in this, because if the Bills can clean a few things up on offense, they're going to be pretty formidable going into the end of the season and hopefully the playoffs. I mean, at this point, they have, what, like a 95% chance of making the playoffs? I like their chances of getting there. And if they can play a clean game, if Josh Allen can learn how to deal with the blitz, because he's going to see nothing but blitzes the rest of the season, you can bank on that. This team looks like it could do some damage. I'm sure the Ravens don't want to play them again this year.
And you look at the way that, you know, the best way to compare is to look at how Baltimore played the Patriots and how Baltimore played against the Bills. And it's no doubt that Buffalo had a better game plan for containing Lamar Jackson than the Patriots did. You know, so I know that the Bills were saying to a man afterwards, there's no such thing as a moral victory. And there's not.
Right.
At this point in the season, when you're 9-3 and you're hosting a 10-2 team, those guys expect to win this game. That shows how far the culture has come, you know, and how far this team has progressed over the years. So I know fans are disappointed, and I know that, you know, people at the stadium are disappointed, and the Bills had a chance, you know, to win this game. But that's what I'm talking about. There's a great opinion piece that was put out that I want to give a lot of credit to. Nick Batt from the awesome Nick and Nolan podcast put out a really cool story on BuffaloRumblings.com. There were 10 plays that the Bills left on the field that either directly led to their demise or directly helped the Ravens put points on the board on Sunday. And when you're facing a team that is a juggernaut like Baltimore, you just cannot give them chance after chance after chance. So, you know, I know fans are going to really be down about this loss, but I'm telling you, the sky is not falling. Buffalo needs one win in their final three games. Now, granted, two of them are going to be national audience games with the Steelers in Pittsburgh on Sunday night. The Patriots week 16 is going to be a Saturday afternoon primetime game. And then, of course, the Jets to close out the year. But to me, let's start when we're breaking down the game here, Jamie, on Believe. Let's start with Josh Allen and Brian Daboll. We know that Josh Allen struggles under duress. We know that he struggles under pressure. I chalk a lot of his struggles up on Sunday. He completed less than 50% of his passes. I chalk up a lot of his struggles to both the blitzing presence of the Baltimore Ravens, the ineptitude of the offensive line. This was the first time in a while that this unit, which we've been heaping a lot of praise on, they just fell flat on their face against a Ravens front four that is good, but is not they're not nearly as good as the Bills made them look on Sunday.
I absolutely agree with that. And there's a lot that goes into making the offensive line look good and make them look bad. To look good, you know, they've got to work as a unit. They have to know what their blocking assignments are, but also they need to have a quarterback that recognizes where the pressure is going to come from. Now, this has been a weakness in Josh Allen's game all the way going back to college. I remember Dan Orlovsky, sort of a quarterback guru that played in the NFL. He was pointing out that Josh Allen he'll even point out a blitzer and roll the blocking scheme toward that blitzer, but still doesn't react to them once they come over the line of scrimmage. I think you saw a bit of that. You didn't see him pulling the ball in and, you know, just getting rid of it, throwing it to a hot receiver. You saw him try to escape with his legs, keeping his eyes downfield. He really needs to figure out a way to react the way you see other quarterbacks in the league reacting to this, because frankly, there's other QBs who, when they see the blitz coming, they light up like a Christmas tree. They're so happy to see it because they know exactly how to just surgically destroy it, which is by doing things like I said, hitting the hot receiver, throwing into the pass rush. That's one of the things you're supposed to do, is throw into the blitz, because it inevitably leaves a vacancy on the field behind them. And Allen hasn't figured that out yet. Now, when he's not figuring that stuff out, yeah, the offensive line is going to struggle a lot more than it maybe would look like it was otherwise. But that being said, they were losing their one-on-one matchups, and I got to tell you, I am looking forward to Ty Nsekhe being back on the field.
Yeah, he makes a huge difference, his veteran presence out there. I know that we, you know, gave Cody Ford a lot of credit for the way he handled Von Miller a couple weeks back and the Broncos interior lineman in their pass rush. But against a team in Baltimore that was, I believe, 22nd in the league in pass rush, the Ravens had a game plan for dealing with Josh Allen, and it was bringing more blitzers and more pressure than they've done against almost any team this year. And Josh Allen predictably struggled. Again, the numbers are not pretty. 17 of 39, 43.5% completion percentage, 146 through the air, one touchdown pass, no interceptions, although the Bills were lucky that there wasn't at least one of his passes that were picked off. He was sacked 6 times. He fumbled twice, losing one of them that set up the Ravens in golden field position. And so to me, Jamie, as we're sitting here talking on Believe, look, Josh Allen, we know he's a surgeon when it comes to those short and intermediate passing routes. I don't understand why Brian Daboll continues to dial up the deep ball when it's clear it's just not working. The first drive of the game, John Brown is completely wide open. I think it was a 35-yard pass attempt. Josh Allen overthrows him. Another third down attempt, I think this was the 3rd and 4 on the second drive of the game, Robert Foster, who's starting to come around a bit, wide open, 33-yard pass attempt, overthrows him. John Brown only had 3 catches on 8 targets because Josh Allen could not connect with John Brown over the middle on any of their deep ball attempts. So let me ask you a question, Jamie. I know that we make a lot about Josh Allen and his strong arm and his prolific arm, but at some point, don't you have to realize that, and it was a windy day at the stadium too, don't you have to realize the deep ball is just not something that Josh Allen is good at least this season? You know, the Bills are taking shots on manageable, you know, 3rd and 4s where they could go Cole Beasley out of the slot. They could go with John Brown doing an intermediate route, but instead they take the home run shot, and just time and time again, they're coming up empty.
If you're Brian Daboll, this has to be incredibly frustrating. And the reason is, those times that they went long, it was actually the right call. The Ravens were packing their safeties in close to the line of scrimmage, much closer than you typically see. They were doing a lot of cover zero over the top, which cover zero means that you're not going to have any safeties in the backfield of the defense. They're going to be up close to the line of scrimmage. And the Ravens were doing that so they could get more blitzers, not only at the line of scrimmage, but also to flood the zone underneath. They were basically saying, please beat us deep. We don't think that you can connect that. Now, if you're Brian Daboll, you have to be pulling your hair out because he was getting his receivers open and his quarterback just isn't hitting it. So I'm with you. At this point, do you pull that out of the, do you pull those passes out of the offense completely? I think you have to take a couple shots per game just to keep the defense honest. But I think that if I'm Daboll, I'm with you, and I'm going to try to limit my receivers to about 20-yard routes.
Yeah, listen, Jamie, and you made a very valid point about the circumstances that Buffalo was facing and why the Bills took their deep shots. But if they're going to take the deep shots, eventually I'd rather see them do smarter deep balls, like the one to Devin Singletary on the final drive of the game where, you know, he had a step. And if Josh puts that ball where he needs to in stride, Singletary, I'm not saying he's going to the house for a touchdown, but it was a very good possibility that the Bills were at least going to be at the Baltimore 40, the Baltimore 35, the Baltimore 30-yard line late in the game, only down by 7. Instead, Josh Allen overthrew him on the wheel route. And, you know, in spite of Josh Allen's awful performance, the Bills were right there with a team that is unquestionably considered the best team in the AFC right now. You know, they get a fourth down play from the Baltimore 16-yard line. You get one-on-one coverage with John Brown out there. And Marcus Peters, who Baltimore traded for, in one-on-one coverage on an island, Josh puts the ball where he needs to. Peters gets his hands up. He bats it down, and essentially ending the game for Buffalo. But the fact that Buffalo was resilient enough to drive downfield and not give up on a day where, you know, let's not forget, Corey Bohorquez single-handedly gave the Ravens a couple of great field positions with a 29-yard punt and a 35-yard punt. There was a strip sack where Dawson Knox was abused, and the Ravens scored on a touchdown 24-yard drive later on to get another touchdown out there to go up 24-9. And there was just situations, Jamie, where, you know, again, the Bills shot themselves in the foot, and yet they still rallied. And I'm really impressed with the way that this team battled back. Lamar Jackson, MVP candidate, I believe he had 3.5 yards per rush that they were credited with. Mark Ingram, who came in with 875 yards on the game, I did not have more than a 4 yard per carry average. The Bills held Baltimore to 118 rushing yards and 139 passing yards, far below their season averages. So to me, that's the big takeaway. The Bills, on a day that was not ideal, where they were giving up points because of the strip sack of Josh Allen and poor punting and poor drops and leaving plays on the field, still Buffalo had a chance to get this game. So if I'm a Bills fan, I get the frustration. I'm right there with you. However, This was a good statement for Buffalo on a day where Josh Allen was terrible. The Bills still had a chance to steal this win.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming gaming resources.
Beloved brands know customer relationships are everything. That's why over 130,000 trust Klaviyo to power smarter digital relationships across their websites, emails, SMS, and reviews. And now, there's Klaviyo AI, your guide to smarter insights, decisions, work, and results. Brands like Everyman Jack trust Klaviyo AI to personalize product recommendations that keep customers coming back. Discover Klaviyo AI at klaviyo.com/box. That's klaviyo.com/box.
To be able to say we played poorly and we hung with arguably the best team in the NFL, yeah, I feel good about that going forward. But now we need to find out, can they clean some things up? The drops, the missed blocks, the bad passes, the absolutely horrendous clock management that seems to be a hallmark of the McDermott regime. Let me address that for a second. Why don't they hire somebody?
In this day and age, when there's analytics people up the wazoo, why is there not someone out there who's a clock management guru to tell Sean McDermott, what are you doing taking that timeout late in the second quarter? What are you doing with that clock management out there? You're wasting opportunities, basically, is what it comes down to.
And when you have a clock stoppage and you can't get down there and run another play, you've got to call a timeout before your play clock dies. It's just inexcusable. And, you know, he was wasting, you know, last year you saw McDermott was wasting things with the challenge, which he's notoriously bad at. Oh my God, put somebody on the sidelines or put somebody up in the booth and their only job is to harass the offensive coordinator to get the play called or to tell him when it's time to call timeouts. And that's entirely it. Nothing else. You know, I'll do that job. I'll do it pro bono.
If you're interested in hiring Jamie D'Amico, he is at the Jamie D'Amico on Twitter, gladly volunteering his services for a small fee for the Buffalo Bills. But in all seriousness, Jamie, and we talked about Lamar Jackson, we talked about the Baltimore offense. I want to give a lot of credit to Buffalo's linebacking core, specifically Tremaine Edmonds and Lorenzo Alexander, who did a phenomenal job in shadowing and slowing down, again, this high-flying offense. Lorenzo Alexander, every time you think he's washed up, every time you think he's showing his age, he puts out a game when you're just like, holy crap, this guy still has it. And I'm really hoping the Bills bring him back for one more year. But Edmonds had one of the best games of his young career. He had 8 tackles, 2 for a loss, and the pick of Lamar Jackson, which was a rare occasion because Lamar just does not commit turnovers. Lorenzo Alexander was out of his mind. He had a quarterback hurry, a pass breakup, 7 total tackles. So this defense, the only complaint I have about the defense is that horrible, no good, broken coverage on the Hayden Hurst, you know, long touchdown drive. You take away that 61-yard touchdown pass, and I believe Lamar Jackson passed for 74 yards. I mean, that shows you just how dialed in Leslie Frazier's game plan was for slowing down the Ravens. So to me, that again gives me a lot of reasons for hope and optimism, seeing how Buffalo came in and just clamped down on an offense that was scoring points at a prolific clip so far this year.
Yeah, that one long pass, the 61-yarder, was really Jordan Poyer got caught looking into the backfield on the play action, lost his assignment. And in fact, that was such a busted coverage that you didn't see any defenders in the picture for quite a while. Yeah, outside of that, you know, it was a mental lapse, and those are the kinds of things that I think they're going to take care of going forward. I'm really not concerned about this team at all. You know, sometimes you need to lose a game in order to get better, and I think that's probably what you saw this week. I just hope that they're not physically beat up too much, because that Ravens team is very physical, and the hits that Josh Allen was taking all game were pretty tremendous. It's a good thing he's a big guy, because a person of lesser stature may not have made it all the way through the game. You saw him get banged up with his ankle, but I mean, there were some hits that sent him airborne, flying backwards a couple yards, and I do not want my quarterback taking those hits. I hope that they've got the right frame of mind going forward and that they're going to be recovered by the time Sunday rolls around, because they're going to need that game. And, you know, just for argument's sake, let's say, to keep things comfortable, maybe they need to win 2 out of the last 3 so I can rest easy.
Well, if that happens, Jamie, I think the Bills getting to 11-5, it would be quite a run for Buffalo, you know, with Pittsburgh, New England, and the Jets left on the schedule. Josh Allen was battered, beaten, and bruised on Sunday. You know, he is a big boy. Hopefully he's been hitting the ice bath, you know, this week, getting some R&R time for himself. But that ankle injury was concerning after Mitch Morse stepped on him. I think he was hurried 12 times on the day against the Ravens defense. It does not get any easier on Sunday, taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have won 7 out of 8 and are starting a quarterback named Duck Hodges. We will, of course, give you all the insights into Duck Hodges and the Steelers, who their defense is not as – I mean, their defense is going to pose a challenge for sure to Buffalo, just like, you know, the Baltimore Ravens team did on Sunday. But I like Buffalo's chances heading in to Pittsburgh. I think the Bills can outscore the Steelers. Of course, we will give you all of our thoughts on the Week 15 showdown coming up later this week on Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. But Jamie, you know what? This was still a statement game for Buffalo, even though they lost.
You say Duck Hodges, you say his first name with such disdain. I can't wait to examine why that is in our next podcast.
A seventh round quarterback who I couldn't even tell you his, I think his first name might be Devin or Devlin, but the fact that he's known as Duck Hodges, oh, I hope the Bills have a field day against this cat.
I've got nothing other than a giggle.
Hey, we're here to provide some laughs on the Believe podcast. Of course, we're going to wrap up here our recap pod. Obviously, wish the Bills had pulled out the win, but again, 9-4, needing one win in their final three games to wrap up their second playoff berth in the last 3 years. We want you to come back to us here on Believe and get ready for the Week 15 showdown, a prime time Sunday night affair. This is Buffalo's first Sunday night game in 12 years. When they go to play Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, a game with huge playoff ramifications. The Bills have a one-game lead over the Steelers in the race for the top wild card spot, with the Tennessee Titans hot on their heels as well. You can come back here and find us on all of your podcasting platforms. Just search Buffalo Rumblings and you'll find Believe and the 8 other podcasts here on the family of podcasts for Buffalo Rumblings podcasts. For my colleague Jamie D'Amico, who you can find on social media at the Jamie D'Amico, I am John Boccacino. Find me at John Boccacino, B-O-C-C-A-C-I-N-O. We'll be back later this week getting you ready for Week 15 here on Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast.